Cheering at pro wrestling shows in Japan is back, and 2023 is already shaping up to be a big year in the history of pro res. That's why you should listen to the Emerald Flow Show. From the Royal Road to the Green Mat, Paul and Gerard take you into the world of All Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling NOAH. Not only do we analyze events, but we examine business, who is getting over, what angles are working or not. Occasionally, we take a look at other Japanese promotions like DDT and Zero One. So if you're looking for more coverage of the world of Japanese wrestling, check out the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Super J-Cast. Your ears do not deceive you. I am not Joel Abraham, nor am I Damon McDonald.
I am.
Which one are you?
I am not. Surprise!
Surprise!
We're back!
It's us. I don't know if you guys have listened to the show for a long time, but last year, Joel and Damon took a very well-earned vacation during a World Tag League. My name is Lawrence Korber. I'm joined by my wife now,
yes.
No longer my fiance, my wife,
no longer
a pregnant lady, now the mother of my child, the bilingual bombshell, Evelyn Paiman. How are you, babe?
Hello, everyone. I am doing very good. By the way, I have to say, I don't think we said that we were pregnant last time we recorded.
Surprise!
Surprise! I know Joel and Damon talk a lot about babies.
Joel's babies, yeah.
Right? Well, us too. We happily welcomed into the world our little son last June.
Yes.
So, yes, we are also...
and we named him Hiroshi Tanahashi.
As an homage.
The laughter you hear in the background, ladies and gentlemen. We are recording in the beautiful downtown area of Montreal, Quebec. That is our producer, the wonderful Slackzy, is joining us in studio. Thank you so much on the ones and twos. So yeah, babe, life has changed quite a bit,
Life has changed, yes. We have this beautiful baby with us. His name is Wesley. His initials are WSC, which is a great wrestling company name, am I right?
Yeah.
We're preparing him for the big leagues.
You never know, right? That's wonderful. Yeah, and we've already, you're not supposed to have a newborn look at screens, apparently. It's supposed to be really, really bad for them.
Oh, my God.
But this kid has been watching a ton of New Japan Pro
so
Wrestling.
So much wrestling.
I know. Like, literally, he was born a week or two before Forbidden Door at the beginning of June.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
was, I think, the first wrestling show. It was way past his bedtime. He really wanted to nap. But we're like, no, we have to understand, the flow and ebb of the wrestling landscape.
So, he's got good wrist control.
Excellent wrist control.
Yeah, he's really, he's leaning into it. I love that.
Mm-hmm. He also bites everything that moves, so he's been watching a lot of Yujiro tapes, just biting everybody left and right.
Please, no.
He might be in the House of Torture.
A lot of the sauce, too, though.
A lot of the sauce.
Right?
Yes. Okay. So, it's not a bad start.
So, yeah, very big year for us, and we are very glad to be back, happier than ever, and yes, married now, so
Woo!
Yeah, big, big year, and also big year for wrestling, because crowds are allowed to chant.
Oh, my God, thank God, yes, those clap crowds, and it's not 100%. So it's
not
still
100%.
Weird.
It's half and half, right?
It's half and half. And last year, I know we came on here and we complained a little bit about the video quality of specific shows and the fact we didn't have commentary on some World Tag League shows.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely it's improved in that aspect. But still having half clap crowds and half cheering crowds is always weird, because I hear these cheering crowds go crazy or boo the House of Torture, and just there's so much life and so much energy. And then the next show is a clap crowd and it's a little bit deflating.
Yeah, completely.
You know, like, I want to see, I can't wait. Apparently in February and in going on from February show, The New Beginning, moving forward, everything is going to go back to cheering again, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, we are all.
And it feels like New Japan is coming back.
Yeah, I know. Because that's, it's, you mentioned House of Torture. It's good to clap for the good guys. It's always good to clap, but it's hard to clap for the heels. You want to boo them.
Yeah.
You want to make noise against them.
You want to yell just horrible things at them. And, for the heinous acts they commit.
And you can't. So you had, for like 2 years, you had to clap for the heels. I mean, yeah. Jay White was a great guy for having the crowd clap for him.
Oh, mocking the crowds, yeah.
You gotta love this guy. But, you know, it's just not the same. So I'm very happy that it's coming back. Yeah, for sure. And speaking of...
Of what?
Jay White-o, I am very excited because on December 3rd, Jay White, our heavyweight champion, is coming to Montreal.
Very exciting.
He's going to be in our city. I mean, I'm going to be able to either touch him or receive some of his sweat on me.
Oh, boy.
Bref, he's going to be in the house. He's going to be in Montreal. Big shout out to IWS, the International Wrestling Syndicate, which is a company based out of Montreal, that are going to have their annual holiday show called Seasons Beatings.
I love it. What a wonderful title.
It's so good. And he will be headlining. He's going to be facing Zach Patterson.
Yeah, Zach Patterson, who we've seen before. He's a young up-and-comer, just jacked, absolutely ripped, super strong. This guy is absolutely a wonderful young wrestler to watch, so I'm very excited for that match.
Yeah, I'm very happy for that. Very happy for IWS. It's a great company here in Montreal that has a lot of local stars and awesome guests, too.
Yeah,
New Japan guests.
Minoru Suzuki came through recently.
Minoru Suzuki was here in last October. Mm-hmm. During the summer, there was a show featuring Ruby Soho. Mm-hmm. They had Matt Menard and Angelo Parker.
AEW fame, very cool.
Yes, and of course the great Speedball Mike Bailey.
Well, Speedball Mike Bailey's an original from Montreal.
Exactly.
You know, it's cool that he comes back home.
Another original is El Generico.
Yes, yes.
And Kevin...
Owens used to be Steen.
Steen are from IWS, yeah. So there's a great history.
I used to watch those guys in a shitty bar in the East End in the early 2000s for $12.
Right? Isn't it cool?
Yeah, you're talking about maybe getting, you know, someone's sweat in your face. There was blood flying. And
El Generico's blood into your mouth.
There's a local wrestler named the Green Phantom. One time they had to like...
Yes.
Put like a thing to stop the bleeding. They
big,
had to like stop the circulation with a towel.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And the IWS is hardcore, man.
I want to say a big shout out to our friend, the Green Phantom, who actually wrestled Alex Zane last summer. Alex Zane that was in the Best of Super Junior and now he's in the Super Junior Tag League.
Wonderful.
So good. Shout out Green Phantom and all the IWS family.
Yep. And wherever you are, please support your local wrestling.
Please, because great talent comes out of it, and you can see great wrestling for a fraction of the price.
That's it. And there's something cool about growing up and, you know, you see these guys come up, and then these are guys who are like when you talked about Matt Menard and, you know, 2.0 and Generico and Steen, and guys who are now, you know, big-time spots in professional wrestling, and I remember seeing them at a bar 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. Like, that's cool. That's cool
feel.
That's
very nice. Yeah, so very excited for December 3rd, Jay White in the house.
Very exciting stuff.
In Montreal now.
Down to business?
Let's get it down to business.
So Evelyn and I watched a whole lot of the World Tag League and the Super Junior Tag League. Very exciting stuff.
Yes.
Some of it was really good. Some of it was...
I'm excited, though.
Yeah?
I'm excited. Let's make it clear. Last year, we had to comment on the World Tag League, and it was I don't want to say end of pandemic, because it's not true.
Right.
Because it's still going, so there's no end to this thing. There's just no end to it. But the confinement was still up and running in a lot of places, and a lot of stars that are usually seen in New Japan Pro Wrestling were not there. So, World Tag League included a lot of the dads.
That's true. And I think this year they have a really cool variety of the lineups. I really love the teams that they put forward this year.
That's great.
I think you get something different on the card, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's a little bit what we had for this summer, the G1.
Yes.
A great mix of people from different companies, different places. It was so good to watch.
And I feel like that's, you know, New Japan dipping its toe. Like, I feel later on, we're definitely going to get more involvement from companies like AEW, CMLL, all these different places. And I think, like, this is them gently easing into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like New Japan doesn't do a lot of very drastic things right away. And I feel like this is a really good step in the right direction.
That's true. Well, I love it. So, yeah. Let's start.
First show that we talked about was the show on the 23rd.
November 23rd was a Super Junior Tag League.
Yes. We did not watch the undercards.
No.
No.
Yeah, it was a lot of wrestling to watch, so we try to go quickly.
Yes. And we have a six-month-old baby, and we have to watch it in very specific times when he's not throwing a tantrum. And I don't, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff on the undercard if you're so inclined, but for us, we needed to get down to the meat and potatoes.
Absolutely. Love the Young Lions and etc. I will take the time to look at their matches. When there's no stress and there's no particular focus, it's just for enjoyment.
So when our son is in his 20s.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the Junior Tag League matches. First one was Kushida and Kevin Knight.
Mm-hmm.
New team.
Yep, first time entrance.
It was versus Sho and Dick Tagao.
Ugh.
Ugh.
I know on this show, Damon is, Joel, is a staunch defender of the House of Torture, and he likes to talk about how the House of Torture is good now. For the sake of truth, honesty, and everyone's sanity, I need to say, no, just no, no, dude, no, definitely not. I liked Kushida and Kevin Knight. I like I would imagine if Kushida wasn't hurt, he'd probably be mixed up in the four-way for the IWGP Junior title at Wrestle Kingdom. So it sounds like they shoved him into kind of a situation here. I think it's going to be really beneficial for Kevin Knight more than anything else.
So do you think that in an alternate dimension, would it have been Kevin Knight and Master Watto together?
They probably would have put Watto back with Taguchi and put Connors with this Young Lion or someone else.
Six or nine. Big shuffling of the cards.
I would imagine that's probably kind of the way they would have put it together. For me, I'm just done with the House of Torture stuff. Like, this is a Young Lion and a guy who just came off of having mouth, foot, and hoof disease? He had something. I don't know. But why do you need, like, Yujiro and Evil to help you with this?
And it's a family thing, babe.
And they didn't even win, I believe.
No, they always
Kushida won.
What a bunch of losers.
Dick to go.
Yeah, you say Team Nighttime?
Nighttime is good because he's the time splitter.
Yeah.
Kevin Knight, Nighttime?
Yeah.
Yes.
I say Team KKK, but you didn't
like
that.
Oh, no, we can't. No. Kushida's a K. Kevin Knight's a double K. You could be Team 3K, but then Roppongi's got that covered.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated. Nighttime is like, I like Nighttime.
Yeah, Nighttime is cool. Well, I still talk House of Torture. I mean, I like Sho's new gear. Like, he really looks like Evil's little brother or like mini Evil. There's something there. It's cute.
I can't get over the stupid faces.
Well, that he had those stupid faces before.
True, but they were endearing because he was a good guy. And now he looks like a petulant child throwing a tantrum.
Yeah,
and I'm over
true.
It.
And I'm over it.
Every match is pretty much the same too.
That's true. Unfortunately, this was the same. It was not a very polished match. It was sloppy a little bit. We can't expect much from Dick Togo though.
No.
I felt like nice little kick exchange from Kushida and Sho.
Oh yeah, you're going after each other's arms, which was fun.
Yeah.
I feel like Kevin Knight looks really good. I feel like this is going to be a guy.
Yeah, that's true.
He's athletic, he's good looking, he moves well. I feel like every time I see him, he's like a little bit smoother, a little bit faster. He just looks a little bit more comfortable.
Mm-hmm,
and he's still really early in his career.
Absolutely. Kushida, always good. Marty McFly, you know, he's Shout out to Michael J. Fox and his Oscar win, by the
way.
Hey!
Look, those times aren't going to split themselves.
Yay!
Okay?
So anyway, Team Nighttime won that one. Woo. Good for them. They survived the whole family, the whole display of a house of torture.
Yep.
That, again, didn't do much for their team.
And then next matchup, we had the team of Clark Connors and Ryusuke Taguchi.
Yeah.
Going up against Bushi and Titan.
Woo, 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 woo. Okay, so you said funky rhinos?
No, I said horny weapons.
Either or, either or. Horny weapons I like. And yeah. We got Titan and Bushi, which is, you have the perfect
tits
name.
And bush.
It's tits and bush. Right, guys?
You can't get better than that.
Well, I am very excited for these two teams because I love Taguchi and I like Clark Connors. It's just together, they're just, like you said, they were put together. They're having fun with it. I'm not expecting anything from them, but
I know what you're getting at. But the thing is, for me, it's disappointing because Clark Connors has been featured so well. Like when he was on Strong, he had such an interesting feud. And then when he went and filled in at Forbidden Door, he really came out looking like $1 million.
He does. He looks like what a wrestler should look like.
True.
You know, I think that they take him when they make figurines of wrestlers and they just switch the face He's great.
But I don't like him getting stuck in comedy humor bullshit with Taguchi, and they're going this back and forth about throughout the matches. They're, yeah, I have a beer. Now you have a beer. We have tote bags. You know, you
What's
have a hat.
In the bag?
Yeah, it's off, and they're chugging a beer, and they're not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a missed opportunity with Clark Connors. And Taguchi coming out there being goofy.
I know it's his thing.
I know it's his thing, and I know you enjoy it, and I'm sure there's people who enjoy it. For me, I think it's a kind of a missed opportunity to up the stock of Clark Connors.
Because in this match, for example, he was showing off some great strength, as usual.
Yeah, he's a powerhouse.
He's a very strong powerhouse, yeah.
But I think that got overshadowed,
mm-hmm.
by how smooth and fucking incredible Titan is.
Oh my God. I wrote great agility. This guy is everywhere. He's so good.
He's incredible.
He fits so well with Bushi. I am so excited for this new LIJ team.
Yep.
The masked duo. I think they look awesome.
They do.
Already.
Yep.
And I see them going really far with this. And I'm so happy for Bushi that is not only someone
to
get...
freshened him up for sure.
He's not only the guy that gets pinned in the match, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, he's got a purpose way more than he ever had before. Well, I love it.
There was a dark era there because I remember when LIJ was feuding with the United Empire and they had all these multi-man tags.
Uh-huh.
And then it kept being like Naito being paired up with someone, Sonata being paired up with someone. And then Bushi de facto would get paired up with like a Jeff Cobb. So you're sitting through this 10-12 minute match. You're like, how long before he eats a tour of the islands? Like, what's going to happen?
That's it.
Here?
And you knew it was going to happen. So
the LIJ team picks up the win after a very spirited match.
It was kind of a short and sweet match, too. Yeah,
but it's the second tournament match. I mean, get it out of the way. You know, it was going to be a card with already 10 matches on it. Like, move it, right? It's fine.
And I remember you saying, quote, maybe don't have a beer before the match, ass boys.
Yeah, what do you think? You chug a beer and then you lose. If you chug a beer and you win a fight, you look like a fucking badass. If you chug a beer and then you get your ass handed to you, you look like a dork.
Maybe not chug another beer after.
You look like an asshat. If I'm in a bar and some guy's like, you want to go? And I'm like, 1 second, partner. And I pound back a beer. And then this guy whoops my ass. I do not look good.
No. Nah. Anyways. Well, still, good match. We move on afterwards with a nice matchup. Tiger Mask and Robbie Eagles.
Flying Tigers?
I say Zoo Crew.
Okay, I like it. Okay,
I went with the Zoo Crew.
Why not?
versus Yo and Leo Rush.
Yeah, it was a quick, snappy, fun little match. I mean, Leo Rush is very fun to watch when he's not retired. He's great, you know, and I think this is it's something interesting to do with Yo because otherwise Yo has been really uninteresting for the last little bit. So having him tag with Leo Rush.
Oh, yeah.
It gives him a little bit of energy, a little bit of juice.
They work so well together.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, he's a fast one, this kid.
Leo Rush is lightning.
He's a fast one. And Yo is, like you said, a little more on the looks like a teenager that doesn't really want to be there.
Yeah, he has that apathetic teenager, I don't want to go to school today vibe. Yeah,
but still efficient in some way. So to put them both together is kind of a cool thing. And I feel like it works really well. I call them the blondes.
Oh, because they're both... Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Next up, we had the Bullet Club team of Chris Bey and Ace Austin defeating Dokai and Yoshinobu Kanemaru.
Dokai.
Can I just say, Chris Bey and Ace Austin have wonderful tag team chemistry. They're just a wonderful addition to this tournament. They freshen it up. They are a fun team to watch. They have so much charisma. They have so much offense that bleeds into each other.
Bey's charisma.
These guys are wonderful.
Off the charts. And they have, what, like 8 sets of abs together?
There's so many abdominal muscles.
So much abs in that ring.
And then we haven't even talked about the quadricep muscles of Ace Austin.
Whoa.
This boy is stacked. He squats heavy, you know?
Yeah, and they have like great aerials.
Yeah, both of these guys
can
fly.
They're flippy, floppy dudes. They're everywhere.
And you know what they do really well?
Mm-hmm.
Is they fly and they have all this incredible aerial offense, but you still dislike them. And if they would be so easy just to be like root for these guys because they're so athletically impressive, but they still have enough shit baggery as heels that you're like, you know what? No, fuck both these guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really difficult balance. And I think that the fact that they just understand what they have to do so well, and they get the assignment.
Absolutely.
It's a really interesting balance, and I love this team. I think this team is excellent.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for them to be in this
and
edition.
They got taken into Bullet Club, and I feel like it's a nice cloak for them to wear that gives them an extra boost of confidence that they didn't even need.
For sure.
But, run with it. Go for it, guys. It suits you well.
100%.
Even though Kanemaru... did beautiful moves like a DDT on Bey that really
that satellite DDT
pace of the match
when he took over. Woof.
Doki just a flying body out of the ring. What was that?
The Tope Suicida. Doki, you know what I mean? And we're gonna get into it with a couple of the other matches, but I think on the whole, his performances have been really, really solid. And I think Doki, you know, he's been getting better and better, and people have been more and more appreciative of him. And I think this is just a bigger opportunity for him to shine, and I hope that he racks up a bunch of points in the next Best of the Super Juniors, and I hope he gets, you know, ends up in the middle of the card because he works his ass off, and every time he's in the ring, I like him a little bit more, which is great.
That's true. He has to fix his hair or his mask, though.
Yeah, the mask sucks because it slides around and it's
something
off. We need a chin strap or something. We need something. He should call Bushi's guy. Bushi's guy is on point. This is what I'm saying.
What's the budget of Bushi on
every
masks?
Time I see him, he has a new mask.
That's
and the
crazy.
New over
and
mask.
Two masks.
That's unbelievable. I don't know how much money this guy makes. Sanada has one set of gear a year, period.
Do you think he keeps all of them or like he donates it to charity and there's like little Bushi kids running around
Japan?
No,
I think this Bushi seems like a guy who like loves his mask.
Yeah, he has a full room.
Oh, this dude has a museum. Just for his mask.
It's history.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The next matchup, the Sauce Hearts.
The Sauce Heart? I said Hell Red Sauce.
What?
Hell Red Sauce.
Hell Red. Oh, because he is all the... Well, Lindemann dyed his hair red.
He did. That's why. I mean, they're matching.
We're, of course, talking about the team of El Lindemann from Gleet, the current G-Rex champion, and Alex Zane, the Sauce.
The Sauce.
Taking on the United Empire team of Catch 2-2, TJP, and Francisco Akira, the reigning IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team
Champions.
This was so much fun.
It was a great match, yes. Loved it. Akira is such a chatterbox.
He will not shut the fuck... This guy just talks.
He's so cute, though.
Well, first of all...
He's adorable.
He's 12 years old. He's 12 years old. He's like that kid who like... You know when you're at like a family function and there's one kid who will just not stop talking to you? I got a new Lego set. You're like, that's good. I'm trying to talk to your mom. And then they were Star Wars themed. And then my dad helped me put it together. And then that. And you're like, oh, God, fucking kill me. And he just has that kind of energy. He's just so young and exuberant.
Yeah.
And TJP just seems like this elder millennial. He's just pissed off about everything.
Oh, yeah.
He has this new gear, which is very like early 2000s punk.
He's the emo boy, too.
Yeah, he has the Fallout Boy haircut. Yeah. It's wonderful. I love the presentation.
Love
These
it.
Guys together are phenomenal.
They're great.
I think Francesco Akira is this young athlete. He's incredible. Great, he has all this team. Upside. And learning from a guy like TJP, who's done everything twice, is just an incredible kind of learning tree to sit under. And I think Francesco Akira fits into the United Empire way more now than he did, you know,
when he came in,
when he first stepped in. So I think it was great.
Yeah.
Can we talk about El Lindemann's tan?
Okay, he's giving me old auntie from Tampa vibes.
He's so dark.
He's so dark. I mean, he's really given Anma a challenge on the tanning bed.
Who's darker? Is Hanma darker than Lindemann?
I don't know. We need to put them both together.
The difference is Hanma looks leathery. You know what I mean? Like, Lindemann's dark, but Hanma looks like his skin could stop a knife. Like, it's...
Yeah, Lindemann still looks soft.
Yeah, Lindemann is... But, man, the physique and the power... Zane and Lindemann as a team, they've tagged together in, like, 2019. And I think they're a wonderful, like, complement to each other. Because Lindemann is very straightforward, power-focused, but still very positive. So Zane is also positive, a little bit more of a high flyer, a little bit more flashy offense. So I think it just kind of fits together, and I love
it. It fits well, and I think that they are both gaining from the other's energy.
Yeah.
Like, Lindemann is not shy of all Zane's moves and weird stuff happening.
Right, yes.
And he's leaning into it, and that's cool. And same thing for Zane. And can I say, by the way, parenthèse, Zane was so entertaining in the English commentary.
That's right. On the 22nd.
On the 22nd. I loved him. He was interesting. I was listening to everything. Oh, good job. More Alex Zane, less Chase Owens.
Oh, fuck the shade.
I cannot take him anymore. Just give him his paycheck and let him go.
No, Alex Zane was a breath of fresh air on English commentary. Very, very, very nice. Filling in for Kevin Kelly, who was off. So him and Chris was an interesting team. I really enjoyed
it. It was very parenthèse for me, closed my parenthesis.
So the United Empire wins when TJP pins.
It was a great match. They got moves. They were showing it. It was very well choreographed. I think it was probably better choreographed than executed at some point.
Okay, there was some sloppiness you didn't.
But it was very good though in the end. And a special mention to El Lindemann's manicure.
Yes, he's very sparkly nails. Yeah, this guy wears black tights, black boots, but he dyes his hair and he does his nails. And also on his manicure, I'm not sure if you know
it's
this.
It's a G.
He has a G for Gleet. And on his other hand, he has a Stronghearts logo.
Aww.
Yeah, he reps the fam.
Oh, that's so cute.
Wonderful. And United Empire close out the show with Lord Gideon Grey running his mouth.
Of course. Oh, did you notice that he tried to imitate TJP getting out of the ring? Like, TJP does this cool thing over the...
Oh, when he leans on the top rope. Yeah.
And Gideon Grey tried to do the same thing, but it's not as cool.
No, Gideon Grey is the perfect slimy manager. It's unbelievable how on point. You see this guy, and I have a physical reaction. Like, yeah. So now we move on to the 25th.
November 25th, still a Super Junior Tag League episode.
Show.
Show. Yeah. Again, let's go for it. So it started with Kushida and Kevin Knight, who are facing Yo and Leo Rush.
Yeah, I thought there was a really good exchange between Leo Rush and Kevin Knight here.
Okay.
Rush ended up getting the win by pinning Kevin Knight, which makes sense. He's the young lion. He's going to get beat a lot. But I just loved watching these two work together.
I thought
he kept
there was
up with one of the fastest guys in wrestling. Like
a great burst of energy by Rush and Knight, really. And Kushida and Yo kept it very technical.
Yeah.
But
it's in
their
wheelhouse.
Going technically at each other, you know? And that's exactly what they're there for.
This match is what I expected. It was completely fine. And,
Oh, I do you think that Leo Rush and Kevin Knight would make a good team?
I would love to see that
right?
team. I would love to see Leo Rush with almost anyone more than Sho. Or Yo, excuse me. And Kevin Knight, I would love to see him and Leo Rush would make an exciting team. They would be so fast. It would be dynamic. You know, I understand that Kevin Knight's now still limited by the moveset you get as a young lion. And I understand that, you know, you have to allow that to grow. And when he gets out of the black tights, then he's going to be allowed to kind of expand his offense, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see it. I love the exchange between these two, and I hope that we get more of it down the line.
Yeah, me too. It was a good match.
Next matchup, we got the Horny Weapons.
The Horny Weapons, Clark Connors and Ryosuke Taguchi.
Versus El Lindemann and Alex Zane. I didn't care for the four-minute sketch before the match where they're handing each other beers and there's red cards.
Yeah.
And they're fucking around. Just wrestle,
it
okay?
It was long.
Yeah, this match...
Because they already did the beer thing, so it's going to be it's gonna be beers at every matches now.
Yeah, it was a bit long.
Chug beers.
And they do the whole thing where in the Super Juniors, Alex Zane bit Ryusuke Taguchi's ass. My producer is giving me such a look right now. I promise, in the context, the people listening to this podcast know exactly what I mean. Slack has such a pained look on her face.
I mean, Lindemann might be a cannibal. Who knows?
Well, no, because Lindemann refused to bite the Taguchi's ass.
They have taste. You know, they have choice.
Oh, so he's saying Taguchi is not the finest.
He's like, I'm not biting that ass.
But give me some of that Clark Connor backside.
Yeah.
That prime rib. Nom, 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 nom.
He likes arms, you know?
He likes arms.
He likes arms.
Yeah, so Lindemann refused to bite Taguchi ass, which again was more comedy nonsense.
Yeah.
And then Alex Zane was distracted by a taco for a long period of time. Someone handed
Connors,
him a taco.
The wrestler wrangler.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, snake charmer with tacos.
That's exactly what... It was very Jurassic Park.
That's exactly what they were going for, yeah. You did the handout and everything.
Do you imagine if you had Clark Connors against, like, what's his name?
Chris Pratt.
Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus, just offering him tacos, but down boy. So Zane gets the win here.
I thought it was funny, even though it didn't work. I don't know. I was laughing.
Okay.
But you know I like the laughing stuff.
Yeah, you like the silly stuff. I would do. You know what I mean? For me, if I have to watch 42 matches in the same day, it gets long.
I don't know. It worked.
That's fair. So Zane pins Connors after a taco driver. Yep. I thought it was a weird comedy match, but you were sports entertained, so that's wonderful.
Yay!
What's up next, babe?
Next, we have another doke match with Kanemaru versus Robbie Eagles and Tiger Mask. It was quick, straight to the point. I mean, these guys are professionals, right? They know what they're doing.
Yep.
Thank God for Robbie Eagles, though. He's bringing a little excitement in the whole thing, because if not, it would have been a little...
That's fair.
That's Team Zoo Crew, man.
That's it. What's up next?
They won. Next, see, straight to the point. Next, we have Chris Bay and Ace Austin versus Sho and Dick Togo. It's the Bullet Club Showdown. Even though House of Torture doesn't really give a rat's ass about Bullet Club. I mean, you know, they're more House of Torture than Bullet Club, I guess.
Right.
But they were really giving it to each other, right?
Did Evil and Yujiro show up?
Yes, of course they did. Here comes Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
One thing that bothers me is Evil's pants are always too tight. Okay? He's always wearing his skin-tight black pants, and Yujiro's pants are too loose.
Oh, my God. Didn't he look
He looks like a skater kid from the 90s.
He looks so bad. You would think.
He looks like a creative player from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
So bad. And he's supposed to be a pimp? I mean, I'm sorry.
The least fashionable pimp of all time. He needs to watch some Magic Don Juan tapes or anything.
But yes, and very sad because they always lose.
The fact that the House of Torture always lose? That's not sad.
I mean, for them, it's sad. For us, it's very good. Good job. Chris and Ace wins. Go the Inevitable Finesse Club.
Inevitable Finesse Club.
Sorry, that's the French accent.
The language barrier.
Again. Okay. Yes. So, yeah, Inevitable Finesse Club.
Yeah, and their tag team offense, especially their finish where they do the ultimate finesse and then they go into the fold. Unbelievable. So fun.
Is that cool, eh?
Ugh.
I love it, too. We move on then for, it was Bushi and Titan, Team Duo Mask, against TJP and Francesco Akira from United Empire. By the way, Akira stretches like a ballerina.
Oh, yeah, he has a little foot up?
Yeah.
That was adorable. Was it not adorable?
He's so adorable. He's so cute.
That's cute. Also, important to note here, LIJ getting the win over the IWGP Junior Tag Champs.
Woo!
Very, very cool.
I'm excited.
So that means, you know, even if they don't win the tournament, you have another challenge. I love their match before where United Empire retained. I think this match was maybe a bit better, in my opinion at least. You have all of these sequences between T10 and TJP. So smooth, so fluid, so fun to watch. Akira's on the ball. Bushi is absolutely where he needs to be all of the time. Like these four guys, I feel, have an amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
And I just...
Both of these duos have amazing chemistry. And yeah. I feel like together against each other also have good chemistry.
Absolutely.
Which makes such a good match in the
end.
Yeah. I would love the double tarantula that United Empire
did. Yes, on
did.
The outside. Yeah.
Oh, that looks so good.
Shout out to Tajiri.
And Kira again with the little tease with the crowd. Always
And running
always
his
fun.
Mouth and chirping.
Yeah, never stop doing that. TJP trying to take off Bushi's mask.
What a son of a bitch.
What a heel he is. Are they the bad guys?
They are the baddies.
They
yes.
are bad guys. And shout out to Titan for making the big tower trick.
Oh, yes.
A
yes,
real
yes,
success.
Oh, my God. This was
Titan made the whole thing.
Yeah. This is that spot you're talking about.
It's like the Hurricane Rana.
The Hurricane
Rana
on the guy's shoulder, and then the Mamba splash.
Oh.
So yeah, Akira and T10 and TJP are just fucking world class.
Yeah.
And it must be so complicated to get the timing on that right, but they nailed it, and it looked amazing.
Good rhythm. They had great spots all over. I can't wait to see the storyline go on.
Yeah, this is a match that you should probably go out of your way to watch. It's fun. It's not that long. There's a couple really cool moments in it. So, yeah, definitely worth your time.
Finished with Bushi and Titan pointing at the belts.
You know?
I want that belt.
Next, the 27th.
27th. Isn't it 26?
You know what?
Yeah.
Fine. The
26th. Hey, November 26th.
It's a good thing one of us has their notes correct, okay?
It was a World Tag League show. Finally, we're getting to see the big boys fight it out.
Heavyweights.
And we're starting strong.
Los Ingobernables.
Yeah. So we have Naito, and Sanada versus a comeback kid, Gabriel Kidd, and Alex Coughlin.
The android. How do you feel about that? The android.
Alex Coughlin is the android?
Yeah, that's his
gimmick. Well, he does look a little bit like a cybernetic robot.
Right?
Yeah, too good, very robotic, like I'm doing my stuff. He's not a comic dude.
He's not a comic dude. I think having him in a match across from Sanada really helps him out, because those are both like the very demure,
true,
very relaxed kind of guy.
Not a lot of emotions.
Who are just all business.
All business.
And then Gabriel Kidd trying to be a dickhead with Naito and trying to
oh
pump him up.
Oh my God. And Naito was so chill about it.
Well, that's Naito. You don't out nine games Naito.
Oh my God. He was so. And he's just referring to Kidd as a young lion. I thought
yeah,
he was
asking
so
him for directions
funny.
When he's going to the ring. That's
oh,
wonderful.
That was hilarious. Loved it.
Yeah, I think Gabriel Kidd tried to play these mind games. It obviously backfired, and LIJ got the win.
Yeah, Coughlin was trying to play the tough card.
Yep.
A lot of grunting during that match.
But I felt Coughlin looked really good. You saw him catch a couple guys, throw fucking people around like it was nobody's business. He came off looking tough. I think these guys still have a long way to go in their development, but I think a lot of good steps. Gabriel Kidd has a very bizarre haircut that I guess is reminiscent of Tenzin.
Showing off his Tenzin style.
He yells Tenzin power before giving a Mongolian chop for some reason, but you know.
Tenzin power! Anyways, Los Ingobernables de Japón takes this one. Good
absolutely
for them. Good
absolutely
for them. They deserve it, of course.
Up next, the United Empire's team of Aaron Hanare and the great Okan defeated TMDK. This is the first time I've seen Mikey Nichols
in
a long, long time.
Yeah.
He was here a couple years ago. He was a member of Chaos. Now they've brought over the rest of TMDK with Jonah, Bad Dude Tito, and Bad Mikey Nichols is now the last piece. This is the first time you've seen this team. How did TMDK look to you?
He was ready to fight, right? They're tough. They're tough guys.
Yep.
I love...
Classic Australians.
I love Jonah. Yep. I thought he looked great, so I guess that everybody surrounding him are going to look good, too, as a tough team.
Yep.
And it's good, because you want to have big guys to fight the big guys, you know?
Yep. I mean, look, Shane Haste has this hysterical thing where he's moving around. Again, it's another situation where Shane Haste is a little bit more athletic, you know, kicks, and Mikey Nichols is really power-based and a lot of lariats, mm-hmm, a lot of knockdowns, a lot of clotheslines. I like them. I'm like them. I'm happy they're back on the same page because these guys, I think, do their best work when they're together.
Mm-hmm.
United Empire got the win here.
They did.
Which I think is important. I think Hanari looked really good. And I think the great Okan is just like, you can't sleep on him. He's just upping his influence and he's upping his talent and it's continuing to grow. And I think where he was a year ago and where he is now are light years apart. And mm-hmm. I'm very excited for what's happening with not only the great Okan, but the United Empire as a unit. They feel very cohesive. It feels like it's coming together.
Yes.
So I'm very excited for what the future holds here.
So excited to see another team like going as the top team, you know?
Yep.
Not always the same two. That's fun. I mean, I love the war cry of Okan.
Oh, the little screech when he does the Mangolian chop?
Jesus. Yeah, I love him. And he finally uses his hair to choke people.
Well, after everyone using it on him for a couple years.
He should have, like, flashed on that on the first time. Anyways, good for them. Good for them. Next match.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. It's another Bullet Club showdown, right? Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale versus Yujiro and Evil.
So there was two fights here. There was obviously the Bullet Club versus Bullet Club, and then there was me versus consciousness and trying to stay awake.
It started with a four-way poke in the eye.
The four-way eye poke. What is going on here? What is going on here? First of all,
yeah.
Owens and Fale are called General's Jewel? How does that make sense? General's Jewel sounds like a sex thing. It sounds like a Cleveland steamer or a rusty trombone. Bro, I had a great date last night. It was wild. Bro, she gave me a General's Jewel. What? Right in the middle of the parking lot. It was crazy. Like, that's so... I don't know what that means, because he's a general and the other one's a crown jewel.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Seriously. This one was, like, just a lot of nonsense. Like, at one point, obviously Dick Togo comes out, and obviously everyone has to come out and fuck around.
Because there ain't no party like a House of Torture party.
Oh, leave me alone with this House of Torture nonsense. So at one point, they have a spot with the... they take a chair, and then... they're throwing it back and forth. So someone throws it to Evil. Evil throws it to someone. Someone throws it to Evil. And it's the Eddie Guerrero spot where someone, you know, falls and goes, you hit me with a chair. But the problem was Chase Owens has the chair in his hand. And Dick Togo falls down and covers his head.
Oh, no, he hit me.
But he's not in the match.
Who cares if you got hit or not?
You can't get disqualified for attacking someone who's not in the match. So this is the most what are we doing?
You know who booked that?
Dick Togo.
Yeah, sad but true.
Anyway, this match, Chase and Fale win.
So Bullet Club wins.
Yeah, Bullet Club wins. Chase and Fale beat Evil and Yujiro.
Good for
them. And we can thankfully move on to the next match.
Yay! I'm so happy. It's my favorite boy.
Yes.
Yano Tori. Toru Yano. Yeah, he's back.
Oh, my God. So last year, I know we talked about this, and we talked about how the team of Toru Yano and Hiroshi Tanahashi is your favorite team because you are a staunch supporter of Toru Yano.
I am, and they got out with the Bebop High School.
It's back.
Cosplay team hairdo. Not only it's back, but they have T-shirts now?
You gotta have T-shirts.
They have the Toru and Hiroshi T-shirt.
No one loves to sell merch more than Toru Yano.
Yes.
Nobody on the face of the earth.
That's my man.
Unbelievable.
And line stickers.
And they were taking on the Suzuki Gun team of Lance Archer.
Yes.
And the King Minoru Suzuki.
Yes. Oh, my man is looking good. Toru Yano was looking good. No fear. Taunting Suzuki.
Yeah, which is so stupid.
So stupid.
You have a death wish.
But, yeah, poor him, because he got, like, double team right there and then.
He got beat up quite a bit.
Toru Yano got beat up.
Yes, he also lost the match. He got pinned by Lance Archer after a blackout.
He hits hard, Archer, you know?
He's a big dude. I'm surprised that in AEW they're not really using him all that much.
I think Suzuki and Archer look great right now.
They won the World Tag League almost a decade ago.
They look good as the unbeatable guys. Like, they are scary.
Yeah.
No matter who you are and you face them, you're like, oh, but.
There's something fun about just watching Lance Archer come to the ring and just destroy a couple young lions for absolutely no reason.
Laughing.
Having the best time.
And laughing
just
about it.
Just having a whale of a time. Wailing on these children.
Yeah. So that was a good match.
It was okay. There's not much to say. It was very standard.
It was very
you know the Yano shtick. You know the Minoru Suzuki shtick. Archer beat up young lions. Hiroshi Tanahashi opened his robe. You know what happened.
Yep, that was a classic match.
The classic. And then in the main event, Aussie Open defeated last year's World Tag League winners, Bishamon.
Bishamon!
The team of Haruki Goto and Yoshihashi. I gotta say, I love the new look on Goto and Yoshihashi.
Yeah, they look cool.
They have the black and gold.
They have matching outfits now. They have the armor. Yoshihashi's showing up with the armor. And Goto has his new staff.
Oh, yeah, it's true, because Kenta broke his staff. He got a new staff.
New staff made out of vibranium.
Is it? It's unbreakable? Wakanda forever?
it's an unbreakable staff? No, I don't know. I also like Aussie Open's gear.
Yeah.
Another arrow pointing at crotch.
Okay, because last year what we mentioned
classic.
We mentioned Aaron Hanare had an arrow pointing towards his genitals.
Yes.
And then on the entrance gear of Kyle Fletcher, the Aussie arrow.
Big arrow.
A big old arrow pointing to his big old arrow.
Yep. That's so got a shout out to the arrows pointing down at dicks.
You got it.
Sometimes it's assholes.
It's true.
Sometimes
it's assholes. You gotta switch it up. You gotta keep the people guessing.
I felt like it was also an homage to the Green Power Ranger. R.I.P.
Yeah, well, I mean, United Empire is always rocking the green, but it definitely had a Power Rangerly feel to it.
Yeah.
I love Aussie Open. Aussie Open are wonderful.
I know.
Watching them work with Goto and Yoshihashi was a lot of fun.
I love them.
Who?
Aussie Open. Every time I see them... They are entertaining. They are strong. They are a team, which I love. I love teams that are teams that have teams moves and teams gear and everything.
I feel like there's two categories when you look at the World Tag League. Yes, you have people who have team offense, people who are a team, and the idea behind putting a match together is both of them working as a unit. Mm-hmm. And then you have two guys who wrestle together, and it's like, you do a thing, I do a thing. You do a thing, I do a thing. Mm-hmm, you know, so I feel like Aussie Open is very much a team. I feel like they're more than the sum of their parts. And another really great Aussie Open match, which is something that we've heard so much this year.
Yeah. The Coriolis finish
looked
beautiful.
It's wonderful.
Love it.
I noticed Fletcher, the Aussie Arrow, he looks like that kid in Toy Story who tortures.
Oh my God, I thought of the same thing.
You know the guy who's next door? Sid?
Sid.
That's who he looks like.
Oh my God, he does. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've got nothing else to say. Yes, you're right.
Also, there was a lot of discourse online about
Dunks. They touch Red Shoe? No.
No, well, they threatened Red Shoes, which is. But that's because, you know, that actually makes sense in the story because Red Shoes was officiating the match with Shooter. And Will Ospreay, who was the leader of the United Empire. Uh-huh. So in story, it does make sense. I'm not really mad about it. Yeah, but there's been a lot of discourse online about Mark Davis's ass.
Yes.
Dunkzilla Mark Davis. And
Joel
has brought it up.
He's
said,
thick. He's a thick boy.
On one of the previous shows, Joel has mentioned that he has an ass like a Pixar mom, which is objectively hilarious. And we are starting a petition right now. Instead of Dunkzilla Mark Davis, to change his name to Trunkzilla Mark Davis, because that boy is pulling a wagon.
Not only does he have that ass, he's got a stash for ages,
just a weird porn stash.
Oh, man, this guy's got a look.
This guy's your stepdad's stepdad. This guy is, a powerful mustache. Make Tom Selleck squint. What a wonderful look.
You gotta love it.
And yet another show that ends with United Empire, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Now the 27th.
And what was funny, not funny, fun.
Fun.
About this show.
Yes.
It's a whole show of relevancy.
No undercard.
Every match was a match for a championship.
For
the tag leagues.
Yeah. So it was a mixed show between the World Tag League and the Super Junior Tag League.
Hashtag NJWTL.
Yes.
Hashtag NJSJTL.
Wow. You hear that, New Japan? You owe us money for pumping your Twitter.
Okay. Hashtag.
Hashtags. I love this. Also, if you're a fan of Lord Gideon Gray, This is the show to watch because three United Empire teams. So Gideon Gray is all over this show.
He's always
out.
On stage.
I'm the orchestrator. My suit fits me improperly. So he's out every. If Gideon Gray tickles your fancy, this is the show for you. First match of the night: the team of Kushida and Kevin Knight versus Los Ingobernables de Japón, Titan and Bushi.
Tits and Bush versus, we settled on Nighttime.
Titan wins after pinning Knight after that foot stomp codebreaker combo they do, which is beautiful. Another really good match out of these two teams. Watching Knight and Titan work together was giving me that same vibe with like Leo Rush.
Oh, they should work together.
Fight each other more often.
Yeah,
I loved
fight
it.
Each other.
I was a big fan.
Do you know why Titan jumps out of the ring?
What do you mean?
I mean, sometimes he just jumps out of the ring, but not. He's not. Is that a move? Is he hitting something?
Oh, that when he does that. Okay. So you're talking about when the guy's in the corner and then he jumps through the ropes?
Yeah.
That's like a clothesline to the midsection.
We don't
even
see the clothesline.
It feels like he definitely hurts himself way more. It
feels like he's just throwing himself out of the ring.
Yeah, it feels like he's just diving through the ropes into nothing. And then what's crazy is he'll maybe land like a clothesline or a shoulder or whatever, but then he'll just like crash on the outside. And I'm like, that must hurt you so much. But, you know, these luchadors, they're crazy.
They're
crazy boys.
Well, good for the masks. I mean, they're having a great tournament yet.
Yes, they are. Next matchup, the team of Aaron Hanare and the Great Okan defeat Gabriel Kidd and the android Alex Coughlin.
Yes.
There's a moment in this match that was super fun, which is Coughlin caught Hanare. Just caught him like a baby and then gave him an overhead belly-to-belly suplex. And I was like, holy shit, Aaron Hanare is a big dude.
I mean, he was throwing Hanare left and right.
Looked like a million. This is probably the best Coughlin performance I've ever seen.
He was strong and tough in that one. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
It was a nice show of force between Kidd and Okan, too. And Kidd using the Tenzin power.
Yes, he did.
To overcome. Good for them. Even though Empire wins.
Yep.
So good for United Empire.
Next match, House of Torture versus the Strong Hearts. So Sho and Dick to Go against El Lindemann and Alex Zane.
Yeah.
Sho and Dick Togo attack them on the ramp before the match.
On the passerelle.
And then Sho pile drives Alex Zane on the ramp.
Yeah.
And guess what? El Lindemann beats House of Torture by himself, pretty much.
Yeah, it's rough. At least there were boos in the crowd.
At least.
And there was like a little entertainment.
If this was a clap crowd,
yeah.
I would have lost my mind.
Rough.
This was, ugh.
By the way, why is Sho the murder machine? Like, isn't he an archer? He's got a video music game?
No. Okay,
he's got a snake outfit?
Yes.
What's the murder? The ranch. Oh, ranch. A machine.
Because a snake is a murder. I don't know. Look.
The ranch.
The answer is
tying this.
The answer is none of it's good.
We don't care.
Dick Togo is the spoiler.
Yeah, but he spoils my fun every time he's on the ring.
Yeah.
All right, next match.
Suzuki Goon.
Versus Aussie Open. By the way, big boy clash contest on the floor to start, right?
Oh, I love it. I love just Davis.
Love it.
And Archer just being like, you run at me, I run at you. Things go bang.
They just ran into each other.
For sure.
Bang.
For sure.
And then bang.
It happened once and they were like, no, further. And then they backed up further. They ran around the ring. Just to smash into each other. That's wonderful.
That was great.
Sometimes wrestling doesn't need 45 run-ins. You don't need a bunch of gimmicks. You just need two beefy boys running into each other at
slamming
top speed.
Meat.
And seeing what happens. Yeah, just a little meat slamming.
Oh, by the way, I love when Archer takes people at top of his arms. By under their arms.
Oh, the blackout.
And it looks like when I'm taking my baby up. You know, they're like floppy, like my little baby when I put him like up there, like Lion King style.
The Lion
style.
Mad. Tanya.
I always look at the person in the air. I'm like, oh, you look like my son. It's so
That's
cute.
So funny.
It's very cute.
Yep. Coriolis on Minoru Suzuki.
Yes.
Aussie Open get the win.
Wow. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great video to put in your montage.
Yeah. Remember that time I beat up Minoru Suzuki?
Yeah.
This was a fun match. There was definitely some cool moments of... a lot of nice striking exchange. It was hard hitting. I enjoyed
the smashing of the young lions.
Always fun. Always fun.
That was so funny.
Next up, we have the Bullet Club team versus the Horny Weapons.
Yeah.
So we have more beer-related bullshit.
Yeah, again, the customary pre-drinks.
And then, but you know, Bay and Ace Austin refused their beer because it was wiped in the butt crack of Connors and Taguchi.
Oh, that's why they refused.
Yeah, I mean, why else would you refuse a beer?
Oh.
And this was a match where I would rather see these four guys just have a wrestling match without the comedy. It was a very, I guess, like an easy kind of straightforward win for Bullet Club. And it just was a lot of, I don't know, this comedy thing. I don't know. You're the comedy one.
You didn't like the too sweet trapped into the Goosey's ass crack?
No, I didn't like the fact that Ryusuke Taguchi strong styled clapped his cheeks so hard that it immobilized the hand of Ace Austin and allowed Clark Connors to hit a spear. No, that for me.
But anyways, it wasn't enough because Bullet Club wins. Bay pins Taguchi.
As it should be.
As it should be. And they got the win. So good for them. Unfortunately, right now, Clark Connors and Taguchi, no wins.
No.
More beers?
Not enough beers.
Not enough beers.
That must be the problem.
More beers!
More beers! Next matchup, the team of Toru Yano and Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Bebop.
Beat the Generals, Crown of Jewels Woo. Of Area 51.
Woo! There was a little posing showdown at the beginning.
A little posing showdown.
A little battle of the deep squats.
Oh, yeah. And Fale should not be doing deep squats. No. This man is a big man. He's not as agile as he used to be. And woof, I got nervous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, I think what's important to highlight about this match.
Yes.
A low blow. A pair of low blows.
Missed double low blow by Yano, followed by
a
perfect.
Effective double low blow from that cheater, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Whoa, renowned cheater.
Dirtiest player in the game, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Who would have thought?
First of all, he injured Kenta by throwing him off a 40-foot ladder.
Who's this man?
He's a violent criminal.
He's changed.
He's knocking. He's hurt, hitting the generals right in their jewels.
Both of them.
Both of the generals' jewels. All four of the generals' jewels. And then he's stealing a win with a roll-up.
Good job, Bebop.
This Toru Yano is a bad influence on the ace.
Oh.
This is the last... You know what happened? Toru Yano used to tag with Tomohiro Ishii. It didn't make Tomohiro Ishii have fun. And it didn't make Toru Yano any tougher. And then these two tag together. And all of a sudden, there's low blows. Right?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of tomfoolery, chicanery, I might even add.
And great hairdos.
Wonderful hairdos. No one's tried to mess up their hair this year, so that's fun. After that, Suzuki-gun team of Dookie and Yoshinobu Kanemaru against Yo and Rush. What'd you think about this one, Bip?
Strong start by Suzuki-gun, right?
Yeah.
I felt like they really had it, but the blondes had a hard time to recover.
Yeah.
They were getting beaten up. But after that, I noticed that Leo Rush was brilliantly taking the bumps.
He was really good.
He was good.
The selling
at taking
was really good. They were working on one of his legs, and he has very speed based offense and moving around, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to see how much it was going to factor in. I really enjoyed that kind of aspect of this match.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, Kanemaru went for the whiskey, the Santori surprise,
yes.
Missed it.
Missed.
Got Dookie right in the face.
Ouch. See, the mask, completely inefficient.
And it didn't save him at all.
Nope. And changed completely the pace of the match.
Absolutely.
Yo and Leo Rush went for the win.
They win. And a cute moment after the match, Leo Rush, who had this knee that was worked on all match.
Yes.
He was hard. It was hard for him to get back. Mm-hmm. So Yo gave him a piggyback ride.
Aww.
Which is adorable.
Well, they're like best friends
That's
now.
Objectively adorable.
Yo lost a best friend and
he found a new best friend. I think there's money to be made in Japan.
Yeah, Lawrence thinks there's a market for piggyback rides given by Yo.
Yeah, I would think people would pay good money to have Yo give you a piggyback. Would I?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm a hefty gentleman, so I don't know if Yo's lower back could handle it.
I mean, he could do it.
I am significantly more heavy than
Leo
Rush.
He's a professional.
That's true. I'm underestimating how strong he
There's
is.
There's an extra, though.
That's probably, yeah, there's a
for
way.
For sure. There's the large heavy. Prize, yeah. The X large prize, exactly. The double XL prize.
Exactly.
For sure.
And then the Fale prize. That's
all. Yeah. Next match, we had Team TMDK.
The Mighty Don't Kneel.
Against Evil and Yujiro, House of Torture.
More House of Torture shenanigans.
I mean, the whole torture mishbucha.
Oh my God.
Was there before the match even started.
Yeah, before the bell. They're getting attacked. poor Marty Asami had to just put up with this. He got knocked down. It's 4-on-2. Mikey Nichols was busted open. And Yujiro still got beat. Like, yeah. What is... Come on.
They still find a way to lose. These losers.
And it's... Oh, it's just such a... I can't really recommend anything that the House of Torture is doing in this. It's just repetitive. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're attacking people. It's long in the tooth at this point. It's... I don't know. It's not for me, I guess.
I mean... TMDK won. Good.
Yeah, fair
enough.
That's
all I have to say.
Yeah, it was an okay match. Yeah. It was nothing special. A match I really liked up next, the team, the Flying Tigers, so Tiger Mask and Robbie Eagles.
Zoo Crew.
Versus Team Catch 2-2 of the United Empire, TJP and Francesco Akira.
Yes.
So I really like this.
You really like this?
I really like this. Okay. I think it was fast. It was exciting. I think it was really an interesting match. I think Robbie Eagles interacted really, really well with Akira and with TJP. It's something I would love to see more of. I think it was just wonderful back and forth.
I agree with you on Robbie Eagles. Unfortunately,
Tiger Mask.
I feel that Tiger Mask in this match particularly looked a little old.
I mean, these are hard guys to keep up with. Like, Robbie Eagles is so fast.
Yeah.
TJP is
so fast.
So smooth, so fluid. And Akira, as we mentioned, is like a teenager. He's just brilliantly fast.
Lots of energy. And Tiger Mask, even when they were like all on the floor, panting to get back their breath going.
Yeah.
Tiger Mask looked like he was the one having the struggle between the four of them.
Yeah, I think this match really highlighted it, unfortunately.
I think so, unfortunately.
There was a time when they were both doing stereo suicide dives, and you could see Robbie had to slow down a step so that he could go at the same speed as Tiger Mask. But, I understand. There was earlier when Leo Rush, faced Tiger Mask, and Leo Rush started the match, and it was important for him to wrestle Tiger Mask, and then he bowed deeply.
It was a lot of respect,
a lot of respect.
Absolutely.
You could tell for some guys it's still important to be in the ring with Tiger Mask.
Yes.
It's still like a cool thing, so I understand why he's in there. I understand, like last year he got stuck in the regular tag league with, Yuji Nagata, where
yes.
he felt really out of place because he was a junior. So I understand why he's in the junior tag league. I feel like this match, kind of exposed him a bit, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I think everything else was really, really fun.
Yeah, of course. I mean, fast paced, TJP, Akira, always good to watch. Robbie Eagles, we love him.
In
this family,
Robbie.
We love Robbie Eagles.
I do love Robbie Eagles.
Robbie,
I find
Robbie.
Oi, oi, oi. I do find sometimes he gets a little pitchy.
Yeah.
When he tells me, But I think besides that, he's a wonderful wrestler. He's amazing to watch. And then the main event.
Main event all!
Los Ingobernables de Japón, Sanada, and Tetsuya Naito lose to Bishamon.
Bishamon, which, by the way, translate to dudes with stick.
Really?
No.
I know you speak Japanese.
No.
Oh. I think this was a match. These guys have wrestled quite a bit because they were part of, the passing of the tag titles back and forth in a feud that involved Dangerous Techers last year. So we've seen these guys work quite a bit.
Okay, can I do a parenthesis?
Absolutely.
You mentioned it.
What did I mention?
Where is Dangerous Techers?
Well, they're both doing their own singles thing.
I think it's a big, big miss. I mean, I always see them. I want to see them. They're the best team. Like, you want someone to love you the way Tai Chi loves Zach. Vice versa.
Yeah.
And I have not seen them in the World Tag League, and I feel like it's missing. I'm very sad.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the team's teams.
Yep. But this year, I think they mentioned after they lost the tag titles that they're going to go their separate ways. Taichi is really focused on the KOPW title. He's really hunting down Shingo Takagi. On the undercard, they are trading wins back and forth. There's countouts. There's pinfalls. They're really building towards their feud. Zack Sabre Jr. is in the finals of the TV title tournament, which is going to conclude at Wrestle Kingdom on the 4th. You know, so they're all doing their own thing, but I do understand the miss of them.
Because that's a fun team. Oh, my God, I'm missing them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my elephant in the room.
That's fair. I think this was a completely capable match. It was fine. There was nothing special. you know, Yoshihashi and Goto get the win because LIJ have already closed out a show. So they wanted, you know, in the tournaments you see that, you know, sometimes one team will close out a show and then a team that maybe doesn't get a spotlight every so often will
get
this
opportunity. Want to give them the mic, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. Hiroki Goto closes out the show with Yoshihashi, which
the
is
the other
nice
day
moment.
We had a great roll call from Los Ingobernables.
Which is the first full roll call with everyone in the ring, I think, since 2019. You know, so
with
that was
Titan.
Yeah, with Titan in the ring, which is nice. And it was so funny too. Alex Zane was like, "Is Titan gonna come out?" And he was like there in the ring. So I mean, that was good. Any thoughts about the main event?
Yeah, again, it was a classic match of two classic teams from two classic factions. I mean, these are the guys. They know what they do. They're professionals. They look good. They look good together. They've been wrestling together for so many years.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, it was very capable stuff. So now that we've watched all these shows,
yep.
Talk to me about what teams are you loving right now? What teams are you excited for? What teams are can't miss for you?
Of course, I'm going with Team Double Mask LIJ,
okay.
Titan and Bushi.
Right.
I'm excited to see these two together. I'm excited to see where they're going to go as a team. I'm seeing the belts in the future.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they
seeing
pick up the tag
belts for sure. Yeah. Really good for them. Also, I really like Chris Bay and Ace Austin together.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Look great, sound great, charisma, energy, go for it. You can just love them. And of course, the champions right now.
Catch 2-2.
TJP and Francesco Akira, they look great. They're good.
They're wonderful. And I think everything you mentioned, 100% I agree with, spot on. I would have to say L. Lindemann needs to be signed to a full-time contract like yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I think Lindemann's wonderful. He's fun to watch. He's enthusiastic. I think he would spice up the junior division, not only in tag, but in singles.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
think that would be good.
True.
You know, there's fun. He's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy.
What about World Tag League? What about the heavyweights? Who are you looking for?
Heavyweights, I am. Aussie Open is really a team that I am enjoying to watch more and more that
it's a treat,
I'm seeing
yeah.
them. I love them. I love the teams. They're a great team. And what else? What else do we got? Of course, I'm always voting for LIJ. I mean, if Naito and Sonata can go far in there, good for them.
Yep.
I just don't see them winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I have to say, maybe I did like United Empire. I did like a little more when Okan was with Jeff Cobb. I felt like they had a good better chemistry than
that's
what
fair.
He has with Inari right now.
Yeah.
But I have to give them a chance, of course.
That's fair.
Give them a chance. And Yano for the win.
Yano for the win. Can't complain too much. Wonderful. And as is tradition on the Super J-Cast, even though Joel is not here, we will be talking about New Japan Strong.
Strong.
So New Japan Strong from the 27th. It's the end of the Showdown Tour. And just one thing I have to say. Alex Kozlov on commentary is just ugh. So they have Jay White in the main event against Fred Rosser, champ
Jay
versus
White-o.
Champ. And he calls him the New Japan NJPW World Champion instead of the IWGP World Champion. And every time he said, I don't know.
He said NGPW
Champion, something like that. And I was like, oh, man, Kozlov, okay. Get out of here. Yeah. And Ian Riccoboni is such a pro, and he's so good, and he's so crisp. And then Kozlov's there with him. I'm like, ugh. I would rather Riccoboni do it solo, to be honest.
Yeah.
So 3-match card. We have Sharp and Jake Austin Young versus Aussie Open. Aussie Open, double duty. They're in the States.
They're in the States. They're in Japan. They're doing everything. Let's go.
So Gregory Sharp and Jacob Austin Young looked really good here. They're sharp. They're snappy. They look hungry.
True.
Aussie Open looked aggressive and mean.
Yeah.
And this was like a short, kind of rough, hard-hitting match.
Ugh, the way Mark Davis slapped Sharp on the ring mat like a pancake.
Wonderful.
Ouch.
It was great.
In French, we say aïe.
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 I love it. People all around the world are going to be walking around going, aïe. So Aussie Open obviously get the win there, but I think that you're going to be seeing more of Sharp and Young. They look good. Just a short, aggressive match that you should check out. Won't take up too much of your time. Next up, we had Jake Something. Jake Something versus Juice Robinson.
Rock hard
Juice Robinson.
Robinson.
Jake Something is a big beefy boy with such a weird look.
Oh my god,
such a strange, first of all,
it's weird.
His trunks are just too small. They're just too tiny. I understand. Look, he has the little, you know, the V, you know, like the abdominal V.
The Ken V.
This V, this, yeah, like the, oh, like the Ken doll, exactly. So this V just points right at his dick and balls. And I understand, look, I'm never going to have this V. I understand. I'm never going to have it. And if you have it, flaunt it. But these trunks too small.
These trunks, look, we were commenting on how Something's trunks were too small. And then boom. Bare ass.
Yeah, Juice Robinson, just like the suggestion of pulling the tights and his entire ass was exposed in it to half a second. It was unbelievable. And also his hair is weird because it's like a short haircut with like some long strands that go, I don't know. It was a perfectly...
There's some work to be done there by Something.
Yeah, in the presentation. I think he's like, he has the makings of all a good wrestler. Yeah. I think he needs a little bit of tweaking. I feel like this is a really good Juice Robinson match because he outsmarted this guy, ran him into the ring post, wore him down, eventually beat him. He was like cruel and he was mean and he was talking shit the whole time. After the match, Juice Robinson gets the win with a rock slide, and then Blake Christian comes out and just attacks Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
Has a big problem, flies around the ring a million miles an hour, diving everywhere. And then backstage, Juice Robinson just goes absolutely ballistic in a promo. And it is so good.
So good. Oh, he's so good in promos.
He's wonderful.
He's the best.
He's talking about, oh, they call you All Heart. You're no All Heart. You're no Brains either. You're shit for Brains. He's going off on him.
Shit for Brains.
It's like a 2-minute promo. It is definitely worth your time. It's so fun. And then in the main event, Jay White, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, defeated Fred Rosser, the strong openweight champion.
Oh.
Wonderful match.
Good.
It was a great match where it really showed the positives of Fred Rosser. It showed his toughness. It showed his heart. It showed his charisma. It showed his never-say-die attitude. And it showed the cunning and the shortcuts that Jay White needs to take to be successful. And I thought it was a really good representation of both of them. Definitely worth your time. An excellent way to finish off the tour. Really, really good stuff.
I love Jay White. I can't get enough of him.
I don't blame you. He's a wonderful wrestler.
I could watch him. He's great. He talks good. He's got the looks, the charisma. He's got everything to be the champion. He is the champion.
You know what I mean?
You know?
So that's it.
Yeah, we've been around it. Tell me, babe, what do you think, Lawrence, what do you think
Yes.
about the concept of putting Super Junior Tag League at the same time mixed up with the World Tag League?
I like it. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah?
I feel like there's a nice bit of variety. I know, you know, World Tag League gets a bad rap because sometimes, you know, it gets long in the tooth when you're on day five and it gets long and whatever. I feel like going back and forth, you know, they've had some shows that are back to back, like we talked about, two Super Junior shows in a row. I feel like this gives there enough variety. You're seeing something different. You don't get stuck into a pattern. And I feel like,
that's true.
You know, that's really, it keeps it fresh. It does, it has a good variety. Very, very exciting. So I'm into it. I think it's an interesting kind of pattern.
Okay. I like your point of view because, you know, my first thought was, it's unfortunately really showing off the cracks into the heavyweights. the fact that it's slow pace and that it's tougher to follow. I mean, the juniors are so quick and sharp, and they got moves, and they're doing stuff, and they're jumping, and it's blah, blah, blah,
definitely
blah,
more
blah.
Flashy, yes.
So flashy, and then you go to the heavyweight matches, and it's like, oh, my God, slapping meat, you know? But that was my first initial thought, but the fact, like you're saying, the fact that they're mixing both of them together maybe makes it even more fun.
Also, this year is a bit different because there's more storylines, I feel, in the junior tag league than in the heavyweight tag league. The heavyweight tag league, Aussie Open is going after FTR. Okay.
Yeah.
You have, in the junior tag league, you have Titan joining LIJ. You have the dominance of Catch 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Bullet Club bringing in Ace Austin and Chris Bay as kind of like hired guns. There's a bunch of different things going on.
You're right.
So for me, there's more compelling stories in the Super Junior Tag League this
Absolutely.
Year around.
Absolutely.
So that really kind of piques my interest in that a little bit more. Mm. So before we get out of here, let me give you the standings. Super Junior Tag Leagues, these are the standings after Night 4 or the 27th. In the first place, the Bullet Club team of Ace Austin and Chris Bay, a perfect 4-0 and 8 points.
Good job.
In the second place, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions Catch 2-2, El Lindemann and Alex Zane, Los Ingobernables de Japón, and the team of Yo and Leo Rush at 6 points or 3-1. In third place, you have Flying Tigers with 4 points, 2-2. Fourth place, you have Kushida and Kevin Knight with 2 points, 1-3. And in last place, you have Suzuki-Gun and House of Torture with 0 points, 0-4. World Tag League after Night 3, Aussie Open, 6 points, a perfect 3-0. Second place, you have Suzuki-Gun, LIJ, Bishamon, TMDK, and the United Empire at 4 points, 2-1. Third place, you have Bebop Tag and Bullet Club, each at 2 points, 1-2 record. And last place, with 0 points, Alex Koblin and Gabriel Kidd, and the never openweight six-man tag team champions of Evil in Utero.
What are they doing there?
0 points. Yeah. So that's it, guys. Thank you so much for having us back on the Super J-Cast.
This was fun. It's always a pleasure to be here with you guys. I mean, we love wrestling. We love New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we will keep on listening to you guys.
Amazing. Guys, thank you so much.
We want to say hi to, of course, our beautiful and amazing producer, Slack Z.
Merci, Slack.
And shout out to our radio show that plays every Friday morning, midnight, on CISM 89.3 here in Montreal. The name of the show is Nightcap. Of course, you can listen to us on all the platforms, including Spotify. So just go on the little glass lens and search for us, Nightcap. I'm Evelyn Paiement.
I'm Lawrence Korber.
And voila.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.